So we come to the second morning line. This is on fruit bearing. So you could open your notebooks to that tab. Of course, this is our first message one. So in my preparation, I was really considering before the Lord, fruit bearing. What is fruit bearing? Maybe, you know, eventually we'll come to see that fruit bearing is preaching the gospel. You might think that. But then what is preaching the gospel? Maybe we have concepts of what preaching the gospel looks like. Maybe in our minds we think of some charismatic speaker speaking to a large group of people, touching them, and then calling them to receive God as their Savior. I wouldn't discount that, but maybe that's one thought you have. Maybe you also think of a gospel meeting. I think a lot of you have been to one where you just invite your friends, you expect them to come, you hope that they come, and that they sit in their chairs, and then you leave it to the brother or the brothers, whoever's speaking, to preach to them. And hopefully your friend will get saved in that way. Or maybe you think, oh, bearing fruit, preaching the gospel, that means I need to get a track out, you know, I have BFA tracks or, you know, a free Bible offer, and you give to somebody, right? And that's gospel preaching. Well, I hope, actually, through this entire week, when we get to this matter of fruit bearing, that we really will see something new. This matter of preaching the gospel, actually, right from the get-go, we need to see that fruit bearing is a matter of life. Amen. It's not something that you do, but it is to minister God as life into other people. But to back up a little bit, I was considering, why do we need to bear fruit? Or why does God want us to bear fruit or expect us to bear fruit? Why is his charge in John 15 that we should go forth and bear fruit? You know, I had to trace a few things, go back and consider, even in Genesis, and I was really touched by this, that these verses that we see, you know, we know that in Genesis 1:26, man was created, right, to have the image of God and to have his dominion. What's the following verse? Jehovah spoke to the man. Actually, just dwell on that point for a second here. This is the first thing God spoke to man after he was created. It would be very important, right? If this is the first thing that God speaks to you. What did he tell man, this corporate man? Go, right? In verse 28, it says, God blessed him, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. This is God's heart. He wants man to bear fruit, to multiply, to fill the earth, and to subdue it. Why is that? Well, you need to understand that deep within God's heart is his desire that his life would go forth, would multiply, would increase, would grow, would fill the entire earth. This is God's desire. This is why he has an economy. We sang that song, God's dispensing, right? In his economy. He's flowing himself into us. Why? Because he wants his life to be duplicated, to be multiplied all over the earth. And that through this life, even that his enemy, Satan, right? The open rebellion, the heap of collapse through the church, right? The rebellion would be subdued and that his kingdom can come forth. So we need to see this, right? And in 1 Timothy 2:4, you touch this, right? When Paul speaks to Timothy, that God desires. I hope you would all touch this about fruit bearing. This is a desire of God's heart. He desires what? That all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So when we come to this line of fruit-bearing, we first need to see that this is something deep hidden within God's heart. He wants his life to increase and multiply. And so in this first message, we have this title, Fruit Bearing, Preaching the Gospel on the Highest Plane, right? And I already mentioned in Roman numeral 1, we see, what is the definition of preaching the gospel on the highest plane? It's just to minister life, which is just Christ himself, into people. You know, in that song that we sang, I really enjoyed verse 6 as we were singing it, because this is really the burden, right? As I dwell in you, Lord, you're flowing through.
Amen.
Lord, you're filling me. Overflowing too.
Amen.
See, this is the point. God wants to fill you, but he wants to fill you to the point where you're overflowing. What does that mean? That means, suppose I had a cup here. I won't demonstrate. It would make a mess. But if I had a cup, a vessel here, God, as life, wants to fill you. But he doesn't just want you to fill you to the brim. He wants to keep filling you so that the life would overflow. And so that when you're sitting in class and you have these friends next to you, they sense, wow, there's something about Wesley. I can't put my finger on it, right? They see you studying, Nathan, and you're in this study group. There's life overflowing. This is the point, right? That we would, what? Enjoy this filling, this overflowing, to the point that we can minister Christ to others. So really, the enjoyment of the Lord is not just for ourselves. It's not just I could feel happy and joyful and have a good day, a good Christian day. But it's so that your life, would, the life that God has given you, would flow to others, right? So we see in letter A that we must realize that in the church service, right, the church life is nothing in the way of organization. That the church is what? An organism.
Amen.
Not an organization. An organism. What does an organism have? Life. An organization is dead. An organism is full of life. And so what an organism needs is life. And so that means our church service, our preaching the gospel, our bearing of fruit, is mainly for ministering life to others. So a lot of you, you're part of a Christians on Campus or Christian Students, whatever you call it, to the school. Yes, it's an organization, right? Recently, we just had to re-register. We had to fill out officers, the names, and so forth. And we need to have a good standing before the school to have that organization. And even in coming together, I think a lot of you have experienced some sort of student coronation. I don't know what you call it. Where you could come together, you know, to fellowship, to consider, to plan. Be careful, right? Especially in the coming months. Actually, it's getting busy, right? With all the freshman orientation, and then in September, usually there's that involvement fair, right? The activity fair, and so there's a lot of planning. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan. You shouldn't be organized. But be careful, right? We're not just doing things. We're not just merely planning activities, right? I hope when you're standing in front of your table, you're full of life.
Amen.
Because that's what will attract people.
Yes.
It's not the best flyer, even though it's good, right? Actually, recently where we are, we decided that making photocopies of photocopies is probably not the best way, right, to approach people. And so we design, right, a nicer looking flyer. That's important. But don't depend on that. What do we trust in? Life. Life. And so as you're passing out a flyer, hopefully prior to that, you got with some brothers and sisters and you enjoy the Lord together. Maybe even while you're standing there, you're just inwardly, you're praying, you're calling on the Lord. Wasn't that first session wonderful? The matter of calling on the Lord? I just want to point out a few things, what I enjoyed, that ties to this message. You realize that from both of our brothers speaking, eventually their calling on the Lord was not just for themselves, right? Our brother Ethan, eventually he led his brother to call on the Lord. Let's call on the Lord together. There's the overflow of life. And with Alan, late at night, you're calling. And brother, I had the same experience. Just want to go to sleep. But you want to take care of your wife. You love her, right? And so inward you're calling. And somehow there's the supply that comes up that can be ministered to the other members. This is what it is all about. The ministry of life. So let's come to point B. Bearing fruit. How about brothers? You could read that. Amen. And so this matter of imparting life is something very normal, right? And so to open this time, actually, we have asked some students, your peers, to kind of give their own testimony on how their experience matches these points. So this whole week, you'll hear, right, from one another. And actually, it shouldn't just be limited to the ones who are called. I'll do my best to end on time so that everyone can have enough time. So if you have any sort of experiences that pertain to these points, we'd like to hear from you, right? We're here to learn from one another. So maybe, Nancy, if you could just come up and share a little bit about your experience of not preaching or teaching, but just imparting life to others.
Hi, so my personal experience regarding imparting life to others. So when I was younger, I always thought that preaching the gospel to my friends, I needed to like ask them to come to a meeting. And then I thought once they come to the meeting, I'll let the serving ones talk to them and impart life to them. And I'll just sit there. But as I got older, I realized that I need to also take responsibility and that I have my own portion. So in high school, I had a close friend, and she asked me like one day why I'm always busy on Saturday nights. And I told her that I go to a young people's meeting, and there we enjoy the Lord together with other young people. And I remember one Monday, she asked me, you went to a meeting on Saturday, right? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, and I told her I enjoyed that week we were reading about the Lord Jesus dying for us, so I told her about it. And then, sometimes she would, ask me, and I would tell her what I enjoyed. And then I asked her to come to a meeting. And then in high school, she went to a few meetings with me, and she really liked it. And then I still remember this, it was the first month of college, and she texted me. She was like, do you still go to meetings now that we're in college? And I was like, yes, they're on Friday nights now. And I asked her to come. And she came to a few with me, and I always thought, getting a friend to go to church, I had to, sit them down, or maybe, read the Bible with them, and be like, okay, listen, in this meeting, they're probably going to talk about this. But really, I realized that I just need to share a small portion of what I enjoyed. And that whether it's from your Bible reading or from the morning revival, just share a little bit with your friends. And that it doesn't have to be you don't have to be formal and really tell them a whole message, but just a small portion of what you enjoyed. And then another point I realized was that for me to share something, I also have to be enjoying the Lord. Because once I realized, she asked me, she was like, so what did you enjoy from one meeting? And I didn't know what to say, because that meeting I wasn't really paying attention, and I didn't have anything to say to her really. And I was like, oh Lord Jesus. So then the next week I made sure to pay attention and really and she didn't have to ask me, I just told her. I was like, oh, on Saturday I enjoyed that we were talking about this. And so really preaching the gospel to me used to be such a intimidating matter, having to talk to your friends about the Lord. But really, just in our daily life, when you're hanging out with them, you can just mention something little, something that you've been enjoying with the Lord.
Yeah, so I just want to point out a few things our sister shared. This is something normal. It's part of your daily living. I think, unfortunately, we're accustomed to preaching the gospel as a form of activity, right? When the full-timers say, okay, it's time, we're going to go and pass out tracts, and then we go. Or the church, takes the lead to pass out flyers, then we go. But all of that, it's activity. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. We should do that. But actually, fruit bearing is very normal, right? And this is really the point. My burden is to help us to see that this is a matter of your living. You need to enjoy the Lord. And we'll come to the next point. We need to abide in Him. You're branches. Hallelujah. We're branches.
Amen.
And we've been grafted into this wonderful vine tree where we could just be open. You don't have to do much. You just need to be open. Open your spirit to enjoy the dispensing. And as we're doing that, actually, spontaneously, in a very normal way, fruit will appear. And so point C, I think brothers read, right? Sisters, how about point C? Amen. And so we'll have our second pop-up. Jerry will share a little bit of his experience about overflowing this divine life.
Amen. So this point, see, abiding in the vine and how fruit comes from the overflow of the inner life. This was an experience that I really had during my senior year. So I have this friend named Brian. Right now he goes to the University of Richmond. I was kind of hoping that he would go to Rutgers, but he couldn't at that time. But so the summer before my senior year, we first saw each other in this kind of like art camp portfolio thing, and that was my opportunity to really speak to him. And I was thinking, oh man, I could finally preach the gospel to him now, because I've known him basically my whole life, ever since I came to New Jersey. But I was too scared to do it. But at this time, I still thought of preaching the gospel as such an outward thing. Like, oh, you just have to bring him to a meeting. Like, I echo very much what Nancy said, because there were times where he would drive me back from the camp back home, and we would just talk about all sorts of stuff, like music, sports, guy stuff, kind of like that. But and then one day, I was like, I was so nervous. Like, I felt like everything I was saying was so forced. Like, and then one day, I said to him, hey, Brian, hey, you know, there's young people's meeting in the Church of Piscataway. You want to come, you know, kind of like that? And he's like, sure, okay, that's fine. And it helps that Brian was a very nice guy, too. But the problem with that, I feel like that was a very big mistake on my part. Just bring him to a meeting out of the blue. Because that's not natural. That's not normal in any way. That's not the way of life. So then we went to the Church in Piscataway on that young people's meeting. And I assumed, okay, like what Nancy said, okay, he's going to go there, and I'm just going to sit down, and we're going to do whatever we're doing, and he's going to suddenly be saved like that. Didn't work out that way. That night, he texted me saying, hey, Jerry, I really appreciate what you're doing, and I really respect God and religion, blah, all that sort of stuff, but I don't feel comfortable at all. Like, I feel I don't belong in this sort of thing. I prefer to stick to my agnostic faith. I'm pretty sure most of you know what agnosticism is. He believes that there is a God, but he doesn't believe that God has a relationship with man, which is basically just as bad as atheism. But one thing that really changed that summer afterwards, I was very discouraged, but I thank the Lord he put some saints in my way, some saints who really enjoy the Lord. There's this one brother, when I was a senior, he was a freshman, named Cana. I think I've spoken about him before. I saw him in the meetings, and I'm like, wow, this brother's so expressing the Lord, enjoying the Lord so much. So then I'm like, okay, hey, brother, can we fellowship? Can we call? And at that time, I didn't know he was a freshman. So the fact that he was a freshman made it even more impressive, because it made me feel like, wow, I'm so lacking. This freshman is expressing the Lord so much, and here I am just sitting there doing nothing. So then we began doing this Bible reading call. Every single day, we would read just a chapter of the Bible, and we would pray, we'd fellowship. And then at that point, I really entered into this practice of the body, because Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. Amen. So we shouldn't do anything in an individual way. Amen. So when we were fellowshipping, I was just like, every day, I just felt so joyful. And as, I don't know, I wouldn't say it was luck, but it was definitely God's sovereignty. Amen. That during my senior year, during my gym class, Brian was there. And instead of trying to just approach him in a very not-so-natural way, like trying to be like an angel, being all spiritual. I just approached them in a very normal way. Hey, let's talk. Let's just be friends. But then over time, I mean, we were already friends at that time, but, you know. But then we would just talk because, like, while everyone was getting into the gym to sit down in the squat spots, we would just walk around and we just talk. And it just felt so easy to speak because I had so much deposit of life within me. And it just all came out. And then he started asking me, like, what are you doing in your church meetings? Like, I didn't even bring it up at all. He just asked me about it. And I'm like, oh, I just happen to have a track right here. So then I gave it to him. And then he read it and he's like, wow, before I felt this wasn't for me, but now I'm starting to really understand this. Then I invited him to one of the calls with me and Kana. And then at the end, we got him to call on the Lord's name.
Amen.
And then I asked him, how do you feel? And he's like, it's faint, but I do feel there's something within me now.
Amen.
So then over time, we just fellowship more in a very normal way. We didn't have to even talk about the Lord in any way. We could just talk about normal things like I did before during the summer. But the only difference is now life is coming out instead of just myself. And praise the Lord, he received the Lord and he was baptized.
Amen.
So this is the experience that we need to have. This is the, I really praise the Lord, but one important thing to remember is that you can't do this on your own.
Amen.
You need to have the body with
Amen.
You. Because by yourself, you will always fail.
That's right.
When you are blend together with the other brothers and sisters, you can dispense life into each other.
Amen.
And then you can dispense life into whoever you're speaking to.
Amen.
So, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So I appreciate our brother sharing. Eventually, he decided, I'm going to make a friend. Right, he's going to be my friend. Like, I'm going to be normal about it, right? Actually, if you were in the past, how many were you in the past semi-annual training on Ezekiel, second half? Okay, so not many. So during one of the study times, a brother, I think his name is David Hearn, he came and shared about his personal testimony. You know, he's a little bit older. He's not college age. He's probably 10 years older than that. But he had a burden to go to Israel, of all places, right? The Lord just called him. But what can he do? And he had a burden for the gospel. And so his testimony in brief was that, actually, he realized that he just needs to go and make some friends, right? Just go to campus. Actually, he went back to school. He picked up a master's degree. And he befriended his classmates, right? And through that, through just these Jesusly normal, right, relationships that we should form, he was able to gain quite a few, right? Think about it. This is Israel. How do you preach the gospel in Israel? Number one, you go and make a friend, right? And so you're not in Israel today, right? You are in the Northeast or wherever you're going to school. You're going to college. You need to make a friend. But not in the worldly way, not just to hang out, not just to shoot the breeze or do whatever, but for the sake of the gospel. And of course, we don't need to do that, give up a vibe that, you know, we have some sort of hidden agenda. No, we just need to be normal, right? And I have many experiences of this. You know, now that we have little children, people are drawn to little children, especially other mothers. And many times as we're in the park or we're at the swings, people approach us, and we just start off a conversation, right? And my agenda is not to try to, you know, oh, I'm going to save you and baptize you tonight. We're very normal, right? Have a normal conversation. And sometimes the relationship develops, right? I'm thinking of one couple right now. They're a French couple. They came from, I forgot which city, but anyway, the husband's at Rutgers doing a postdoc. The wife is staying at home with her little baby and about the same age as our second. And we just started talking that first day. And they asked me what I did. And, oh, that's my opportunity, right? And so I tell them what I normally say to them. But in that, I was able to share a little bit about God's economy. Just a little bit. Not too much to, you know, overwhelm them. And then this relationship has just developed, and we're still meeting together. And we just need to be very normal, right? A Jesusly normal way.
with the ones that the Lord has placed us with. And as we're enjoying the Lord, then we trust that the life will flow forth. Okay, so we should move to Roman numeral 2. How about we read that all together? And let's emphasize that second word, okay? Amen. I would highlight that. I would circle that, underline that. We need, brothers and sisters, we need. It is not normal to be fruitless. We need to bear fruit. That is what a normal, even in agriculture, with trees, an apple tree, right? With anything that produces fruit, you would expect, right? Otherwise, what's the point? Do we go to an apple tree to enjoy the shade or enjoy its outward beauty? No. You go there to pluck the apple and to eat it, right? That's the fruit. In the same way, actually, I'm really glad in John 15, the illustration there is the vine, right? And so, you know, the vine, it's not outwardly pleasant, you know, very beautiful to look at. You know, I'm not an expert on this, but I think the flower is even very small. I mean, there's nothing extraordinary about it. But what's wonderful about the vine is the fruit that it produces, right? And so if you look at a vine and it's not producing any fruit, if the branches are not producing any fruit, you would question, what's the point, right? Is there something wrong? In the same way, in our Christian life, actually, I hope the Lord will really speak to each and every one of us concerning this matter. We really need to go before Him. How many of you are seniors? You're about to graduate. Okay. You don't need to answer my question right now. Have you borne any fruit in these years? If you're a freshman, you have 4 years, right? But for the seniors, I hope you become very desperate and go to the Lord. Lord, actually, you'll see this in the following points. I'm desperate. Do what you need to do. The Father is a husbandman, so that means He'll come and prune us. Prune me for the sake of this matter. I don't want to remain the same. Deal with what needs to be dealt with so that I can be fruit-bearing. I could be a normal fruit-bearing branch in the vine. Point A, if we are saved, we are of a branch in the vine.
Amen.
B, brothers, how about you read that? Amen. Sisters, point one. Seriously wrong. I underlined that. That really convicted me. It's seriously wrong to remain barren. It's not normal. And what also touched me is that, you know, we might think, oh, I'm not doing anything sinful. You know, I'm a pretty proper brother or sister. You know, I'm not worldly. That should be good enough, right? I go to all the meetings. No, you need to bear fruit. You need to bear fruit for the Lord because this is His charge to us. Point two, brothers, right? Go. This is actually very real, right? An indication that you are not normal or that you're kind of going through a spiritual valley, a reason might be because you're not bearing fruit. It's just like a hose. You know, when you connect a hose, if there's some sort of blockage and the water can't get through, right? Eventually, it'll burst, right? And that's not normal. Another good illustration is, you know, a river is something that's very living because there's a flow, right? And so life is always passing through. But if you have a body of water and there's no outflow, there's no inflow. After a while, that water will become dead, right? No life. So we need to not just have and experience the inflow, which we do, right? When we're with one another and personally, but we need to have the outflow so that more life can come in and pass through us and go into others, right? And so this is very important. Now, this matter of being cut off, what does that mean? So with the help of the ministry, I'll just give you 4 points, okay, regarding being cut off. And if you check with you this with your own experience, this is very true. Number one, to be cut off, what do you experience? You lose the enjoyment of the riches of the triune God. That's what it means to be cut off. Number one, you don't enjoy. Maybe the meetings become boring. You've lost that enjoyment. Number two, you miss the fellowship with the other co-branches. In other words, the fellowship with the members in the body, because now you're cut off. Number three, you are separate from the expression of God, right? Because through, actually, this picture in John 15, this wonderful organism, that's actually an expression. This is what God desires, right? He wants this branch, the branches abiding in the vine bearing fruit. He wants his life to increase, to spread, and to be expressed all over the earth. And then number four, we are cut off from the purpose of God. And this really struck me. That's what it means to be cut off. That means you're separated. In other words, your life, to a certain degree, has no meaning, right? The verse that really touched me in John 15 is verse 16. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." That's the Lord speaking to us. He chose us. Chose us to do what? Just to be victorious, have a good Christian life? No. "I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit." This is the Lord speaking to us. He chose us for this. Actually, think about this. That's what your salvation is for. That's why the Lord called you. That's why the Lord brought you to this training, so that you would be trained and to be perfected in your fruit bearing, so that you'd be so fruitful. He chose us to bear fruit, and that your fruit, praise the Lord, would remain, right? Remain in the church life, in the churches, and whatever you ask from the Father in my name, he may give you. So then in our prayers, we realize, actually, at the end of the day, it's nothing that we can do. It's not that we persuade our friends to believe into God. But as we're cooperating with the Lord and we're praying, actually, we can ask. This is his promise. We could talk to the Lord in such a way, "Lord, this is your promise. This is your heart for my friend to be saved. So I ask, I command you, do something. Do something this semester." Isn't this wonderful? Amen. Okay, point C. How about we read that all together?
We must bear fruit.
Amen.
We must have such a breakthrough.
Amen.
We need to go to the Lord to have a thorough dealing with him.
Amen. We'll get more into this in the third message, that this matter of being dealt with, but I'll mention something at the end. Okay, how about we pray that prayer? How about we read point two together under in letter C?
We must endeavor and be desperate. We must say, "Lord, I am one of your branches. Why do I not bear fruit? I must bear some. I cannot go on like this anymore. Lord, have mercy on me, that by your grace I may bear at least one fruit."
Amen. I hope we pray this prayer. I know you just all read it, but I hope you spend sometime this week, and just consider and go before the Lord on this matter of fruit bearing, that we become desperate. I'm afraid we're not desperate enough, right? We let it slide. We think, "Oh, somebody else will do it. The full-timers will do it." No, this is your responsibility as a college student to bear fruit on campus. And I would even add this, actually, this matter of bearing fruit. Brother Lee actually mentions that it's not just unbelievers, but even the ones, the believers in the church, the younger ones, the ones who are struggling, the newer ones. Actually, we should bear them as remaining fruit. And so even in our service, in our church service, how many of you are involved with something like that? Serving the children, serving the young people. How many of you have considered that to be fruit-bearing, that you would have a burden for them? Okay, I just want to end in this way. I really recommend all of you to get this book and read it. Like our brother mentioned last night, there are some ministry publications that when you read, it just leaves a lasting impression on you. And I have to testify. So this, I think this publication came out when I was in college. And I read through it. And that first chapter just completely changed the way I viewed my Christian service before the Lord. And maybe I'll just read one section that to this day, you know, when I read this, it just, there's so much feeling, okay? For this purpose, and this is talking about having a burden to care for people. For this purpose, the Lord needs even the teenagers. How many of you are still a teenager, meaning you're 19? Okay, yeah, there's talking to all of you, okay? I hope that the older teenagers will pick up the burden to care for those in junior high school. According to my observation, we have many 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, and 12-year-old sisters, but there are no teenage sisters taking care of them. This applies to the brothers as well, of course. Therefore, we need some young sisters to give themselves for this. We need some young sisters to give themselves for this. Do you realize that in your localities, in the church where you're at, there are young people, middle schoolers, high schoolers, who need shepherds, who need ones who have an interest in them, who would care for them, who would minister life to them, who would have a burden for them? Do you have a burden for them? Or are we just overly concerned with ourselves, our own affairs? I'm here to get a 4.0. I just want to do well in school. I just want to have a good time in college. Do you have a burden for people? Do you have a heart for people? This really touched me when I was in college. Therefore, we need some, I read that already. After their reconsecration and dealing with the Lord, they should say, and this is a prayer, Lord, I pick up this burden. I give myself to take care of the junior high girls. This is my service. What does that mean? That's your personal service. It's your calling. The Lord has touched you. It's not that a serving one would say, okay, brother, sisters, you're assigned to da-da-da-da-da. I think we can tell the difference, right? When somebody cares for us in a very genuine way, when that love is from the love of God. Philan made you recite 1 John 4:8 many, many times. Do you love man? Do you love people? How can you say you know God if you don't love people? I give myself to take care of the junior high girls. This is my service. I will pick them up and I will bear them all to the New Jerusalem. What kind of feeling is this? So this means that it's not just, oh, you know, I'm assigned to some sort of service. I serve once a month. I check in and check out. You're bearing them. That means if they make it or they don't make it, you have a feeling concerning that. You're bearing them in love. If some teenagers will do this, they will have the Lord's presence with them and they will see the blessing. We cannot tell how far the Lord will go with these young ones. Perhaps by this kind of service, they will become useful in the Lord's recovery in the coming years. They will not only be the big sisters, but the mothers of many young ones. This is really my testimony. When I read this, this completely changed my view of my service, my involvement with the young people. And the Lord covered me. I just share this give this additional testimony. This past year, actually, a sister in my locality, who used to be a young person and grew up among us, she said something that, of course, I totally do not remember. She said that, you know, Shepherd, you remember like when you were serving us one time in a meeting, you told us the reason why I was serving them. And apparently I told them that one day I would expect to see some of them as my fellow coworkers, that I would labor alongside with them. Of course, I don't have any recollection of saying that. But she brought this up. And I was like, wow, this actually happened. She's there. I mean, she's there. We're coordination together. We're laboring on the campus. She's my coworker now. I hope you will really go before the Lord. You all are college students. You're much better than any of us. You're far, much far, farther along. But you need to come before the Lord. And I'll end with these 4 points. And again, I'm trying to sell you this book, that you would read it and read it prayerfully. And these 4 points are in this book. And I'll quickly mention them. To minister life to people, Brother Lee gives us 4 points. Number one, we need to spend time with the Lord. And not just to spend time with the Lord, like, you know, there's two kinds of walks, stoicheo and peripateo. I'm not saying just, you know, having a pleasant time enjoying the Lord, but really go before Him to touch His burden, His feeling. And our brother used the verses in Exodus 21, and I think you're familiar with these verses about the Hebrew servant, right? He concluded that, I love my master, my wife, and my children, and I will not go out free. We need to spend enough time with the Lord so that we could say, Lord Jesus, I love you as my master. You sent me to go forth to bear fruit. You are my master. I like to obey such a calling. But not just the master, my wife, which signifies the church, and my children, which signifies the believers. I love them because actually that love is not my own love, but it's your love. Christ died for her and gave himself up for her. That love, the joy that he saw, that encouraged him to despise the shame, to endure the cross, that joy is in the church-loving Christ that is in each and every one of us. So we need to go before him to spend time, to reconsecrate ourselves in such a way to bear fruit. Number two, we need to be willing to be dealt with. And we'll get more into this in the third message. Maybe we can't bear fruit because we don't have an interest in people. Maybe we need to confess that I'm just an individual. I'm just individualistic. Maybe we're just natural. We're just natural with one another. We're sinful. We're worldly. Don't raise your hands, but have you ever had the experience where you're with a group of friends and then they find out you're a believer and they're like, what? You're a Christian? Really? That, you know what, that's not a positive reaction. That means they see you as just one of them. There's no difference. How can we bear fruit if we're no different? So we need to spend a lot of time to be dealt with by the Lord. Maybe, actually, I also thought about this. We're too overly spiritual. We're unapproachable, right? When you serve the young people, they feel like, you know, you're just judging them, right? All of these things, actually, when you spend that time with the Lord, the light will come. It will shine upon us. So that's number two, to be dealt with by the Lord. Number three, we need to pick up the burden. And I read that paragraph, and I think that really touches the essence. Picking up this burden. Do you have this burden? We need to receive that from the Lord. And finally, learning to be interested in people. And again, in this reading, there's one line that touched me so much. And our brother says, we might not be interested in people, whether they go to heaven or hell. You don't have an interest. No feeling. Do you have an interest in people? We need to be before the Lord. So those four points, I'm encouraged. We need to pray about these things. If we really mean business with the Lord to bear fruit, we need to go before Him in such a way. So I think I'll just stop here. How about let's read Roman numeral 3 all together, maybe prayerfully, and then after we read it, we could pray with the ones next to us, and then we'll have some time to overflow. The book name, Normal Way of Fruit Bearing. Normal Way of Fruit Bearing. That's a wonderful title. And Shepherding for the Building Up of the Church. We're actually selling these, but anyway, we'll make another announcement about that. So let's read Roman numeral 3 all together.
We must follow the words of the Lord every day. Lord, command me to be normal in the matter of fruit bearing. Every year I must bear some fruit. Lord, as a branch of your vine, I need a yearly crop. I do not pray for a great amount of fruit in a miraculous way. Rather, I simply want to be normal, bearing at least one fruit per year.
Okay, let's pray with one another and we can set up some mics for sharing.